In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. Paul just finished talking with the church in Rome about how there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ. And he talks about how as those who have the Holy Spirit, we are called to unselfish ways. That when we focus on self, our focus is not on where God would have it. That those who are focused on selfish needs and selfish gains and self-worth are dead in spirit. And that the flip of that is to be in the Holy Spirit, to claim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and to live in a way that glorifies God in all things. And Paul continues then with this morning's reading, and he says, so then we have an obligation. But it is not an obligation to ourselves to live our lives on the basis of selfishness. If you live on the basis of selfishness, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the actions of the body, you will live. If being moved by the Holy Spirit, you put away those selfish ways, spiritually, you will live. All who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters. If you are living in a way that is in accordance with the way the moving of the Holy Spirit, you are therefore the son or daughter of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to lead you back again into fear, but you received a spirit, capital S, that shows you are adopted as his children. With this spirit we cry, Abba, Father. The same spirit, capital S, agrees with our spirit that we are God's children. I think about a year ago this weekend when we baptized Harrison. And Hillary and Chris answered on his behalf. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you renounce evil and its ways in this world? Will you raise up to be a faithful disciple of Christ? When I baptized him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and told him at the ripe old age of 3 weeks old that he was now engrafted into the body of Christ, baptized and claimed as one of God's children, we believe that the little churchy magic happens in that moment. And that the Holy Spirit comes and resides in that baptized person. We believe that it is the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, fully God, just a different way of relating to God, that comes in and changes how we live. We believe that when we put on the Holy Spirit, that our minds then change and the old way is dead. And the new way is to live a holy, God-centered life. When we baptized Harrison, or when I baptized Ellie up at the camp, or really any time anybody is ever baptized, every time one of us was baptized, every time those words are spoken and the water is poured, we are reminded, whether the water touches our head in that instance or not, we are reminded of who we are and whose we are, that we belong to God. And that living a life that is led by the Holy Spirit is so much more fulfilling and so much more meaningful than a life lived following a selfish spirit. The spirit that says, it's all about me. People who live in the Spirit, who claim the Spirit, who claim that call to be children of God, should not, and in a lot of ways cannot, live selfishly anymore. When we put on the Spirit, when we are reminded that the Spirit dwells inside of us, it changes how we approach our everyday life and how well it should. For example, someone who is living in the Spirit and is aware and is constantly in awe of the Holy Spirit indwelling shows up to help at pantry because it's the right thing to do. Not because, see me, see what I did. You understand the difference between those two. Give me a nod of the head if you do. A person who is living in the Spirit and has the Spirit living in them is more likely to go and buy things for the box that we're sending to our troops and dropping it off when nobody else is here. A person who is living a selfish way is going to make a grand show of see what I have done. See the difference? Paul continues, though, and he says, but if we are children, we are also heirs. We are God's heirs and fellow heirs with Christ. If we really suffer with him, so that we can also be glorified with him. Which, if I was translating Romans myself, or doing a transliteration and coming up with my own version of the Bible according to Pastor Christina, would sound something along the lines of, if you're going to say it, you better be able to walk it. If you say you're living in the Spirit and the Spirit is living in you, and you say that the Spirit, capital S, agrees with our spirit and that we are called to cry, Abba, Father, parent God, and if you say that you are a child of God, then it is also your responsibility to live it. It is our responsibility collectively to live it when we walk out the door. It is our responsibility to remember that the gospel is one generation away from extinction. That if we are not teaching it and living it and breathing it, and letting the Holy Spirit and what I believe is that God light shine out in everything we do, then we're not holding up our end of the bargain. If we're going to say we are children of God, and I believe that we are, if we are going to claim holy parentage, and I believe that we do, then we have to remember that it's part of our responsibility too. I think to my time as an in-home caregiver in one of those post-seminary pre-call jobs. I worked for Home Instead. I was an in-home caregiver for those who could not care for themselves anymore, and who either did not have family who was close enough to handle it, or did not have the skill set to handle it, or did not have the patience to handle it. They would hire Home Instead, and Home Instead would place a caregiver in the home. And we took care of everything from taking clients to their appointments and to shopping and to run their errands to doing personal care, the bathing, the cleaning, the cooking, the feeding, the cleaning the house. When you think about the word air, H-E-I-R, air, in my mind it comes to, honestly, I go to Pride and Prejudice. Remember that, Jane Austen and Pride and Prejudice, and they had 5 daughters, no sons. The estate was entailed on the son. The daughters had to marry somewhere else, and there wasn't enough money to go around. Heirs. Think about wills, last testaments, living wills. The heirs are the ones who have to take care of the stuff. In my grandparents' case, it was also being trustees of the trust, right? And so they're responsible for the caregiving. They're responsible for the maintenance. If we are God's heirs, along with Christ, we cannot leave it all to Jesus to do. We are called to take care of the maintenance. We are called to be the trustees. We are called to be the caregivers. And that includes living a life that demonstrates the Spirit living in you. It requires that when we act in a way that exudes Spirit instead of selfishness. It requires living in a way where we show our gratitude in everything we do, that we glorify God in everything we do, and that we pray continually, if it were not for God's leading, my work would be in vain. Use me as your hands and feet. Use me as the beacon of your light. It is not my light shining, but yours, O God. We are children of God. We've been claimed, marked, adopted, take your pick of what word you want to call it. We do claim holy parentage. We are brothers and sisters in and of Christ. And we do live lives that are full of Holy Spirit. Don't ever forget who you are and whose you are. Don't ever forget to walk the walk if you're going to talk the talk. Don't ever forget just how precious you are and how valuable you are to the one who created you. The one who loves you more than you will ever be loved by anybody else. The one who loves you so much that they took on human form, lived in this mess, gave up their life on our behalf to pay a debt we could never hope to pay, and rose again on the third day to say, I got you from here until eternity. Don't hide your light under a bushel basket. Don't let the selfish spirit of society blow it out. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you are less worthy than you really, truly are. Amen.